Today on Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, we're talking about working with kids when decluttering and getting organized. Do you worry that your kids lack the skills to declutter and get organized? Are you tired of picking up all your children's stuff 24/7? How can you work with your children and have a harmonious household? Learn how to work with your children and teach them lifelong skills of decluttering and organizing as we begin our month focusing on teamwork. Do you control your clutter, or does your clutter control you? On Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, we'll teach you awareness as well as action steps to create change in your life. Come on, let's get started. I did something a little bit different this month. Well, first, I hope everyone had a great break. I hope that you were able to access the archives. I know we didn't have live shows for 6 weeks or recorded because they aren't technically live, but hopefully that was helpful to you. Or if you took a break, even better. It's all good. As long as you were honoring yourself and listening to your intuition, I think that's really great. I am ready for summer to be over. July is usually the hottest here in North Carolina. Still being in August, though, it's too hot for me. So I did things a little bit differently this month. While most of us were at home back in March and April, and a huge shout out to health care workers, first responders, janitors, all of y'all that made a huge difference, grocery store workers, clerks, everyone that allowed many of us to stay at home. I offered free live coaching for a couple months on Facebook. And so I did a special episode in April, May, and June that I include in the podcast. But this month, they all kind of came together. And the only thing I did is I edited out any pauses, or if I repeated, hey, next week, come and see the coaching. And, you know, in one that I did, I didn't realize the chat was on and all these questions had poured in. And I'm like, hey, if anyone has a question. So all of that was edited out. And the only thing I did was I did take action at the end, do an intro, just to kind of tie it together, the theme of the podcast. And I feel really like, let's take action. And I didn't do those with the bonus episodes in April, May, and June, but now that we're kind of back to the format, that's what I did. So all these in my mind kind of gelled together into what I'm calling teamwork. For many of you, it's back to school time. And I thought talking about working together would be really great. I also had a great Q&A session when people asked questions. I was asked questions I didn't ever been asked before. So that was really wonderful to do that. It kept me on my feet. It really helped me mentally. And you'll notice in these episodes, I definitely go more on a tangent mode. I try to, when I do the podcast, have my little points. And at the beginning, I did it similar to a podcast. So I wrote down even more brief points. So I do a little tangent thing a little more often, but hopefully you can hang with that, because sometimes there's really good stuff when I go off in different directions. And, you know, as always, I say a little prayer, I say a little moment, have a moment and say just whatever people need to hear, please allow that to come through me. So hopefully you will be able to gain through that even when I meander a little bit. Working as a team not only supports us in clearing physical clutter, but it also helps with mental clutter. How exhausting is it when stuff doesn't get done or you're really far apart? Emotional clutter, right? When it's emotionally draining to fight or ask your kids to continually to get stuff done. It can also create spiritual clutter when their home has a lot of tension, and that can sometimes escalate into other challenges. Energetic clutter happens when you have a lot of physical clutter or negative feelings, when they're more present than not. You can create health clutter from all the stress of not working together, as well as having relationship clutter when you can't get on the same page. If you have a lot of stuff you're not using, you're creating financial clutter when you could be bringing in money. It's just a few examples of the broader clutter it's creating when we can't come together and we don't work as a team. For most of us, we live with someone, whether it's a spouse, a partner, a roommate, and we have to negotiate clutter and disorganization. So that's why I wanted to focus on teamwork. Even if you live alone, hopefully you'll take away some team building skills for life, work, and play. because most of us aren't in complete isolation. And I'm betting even the monks might have a challenge or two with living together. Maybe you don't have kids like me, but you have nieces and nephews or godchild or child that you mentor, and you might want to share these skills with them. Enjoy.
So first of all, it's important, my great new t-shirt, to remind you, here comes the sun, life is good. So remember, we're in the storm now, but eventually the sunshine has to come out again. So at the beginning of the Corona Files, I like to share things that are positive and I think that are groovy. Again, if you were focusing all about the virus, try to find the good and focus on those stories, like how many people have recovered. So I'm not a very smart person when it comes to solving complex problems. I don't have that kind of brain. But I read where, and I don't remember where it was, and I'm thinking it's catching on, that people in the community have started raising money to feed healthcare workers. And what's so awesome about this is they're supporting local restaurants. As you know, some have shuttered, some have closed, but the restaurant industry has been severely impacted. And so what these people are doing is doing a rotating small business. We'll pay you. They've raised a fund. We'll pay you. Please go feed the healthcare workers. I love solutions like that. We have the ability to solve everything if we choose to. So that's just a good news I wanted to share. The other thing I want to remind you about, and again, this is the third episode I'm doing. The first one was finding the opportunity, finding what can be good in a really terrible situation with all of this. And again, I don't discount anyone who's really struggling. Been a lot of drama in the past 48 hours, unfortunately, with our HOA. And I really try to stay above the fray. And if you follow my podcast, Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, we were denied solar panels. We are going to be filing a suit in small claims court against the HOA board for violating a couple of things. So anyway, it's very disturbing how a fellow neighbor was treated. And, you know, I was just maligned on Nextdoor. You got to love Nextdoor, right? But my point with all of this is in the past 48 hours, there have been some things that are only going to strengthen our court case. Now, we've given them over 60 days to respond. They've chosen not to respond to our request to be reimbursed because they required all these things to approve our solar panels. And it's our belief that they were never going to approve them and just made us jump through hoops. Anyway, we're out some money. And so that's why we're suing. We said we'd like to be reimbursed for that. They've ignored us. We said even before the first COVID-19 case in North Carolina was. And so anyway, we will take them to small claims court when they open. But two pretty significant violations, and I have documentation now, happen. And so if we had already filed the suit or it happened, and, you know, and will it make or break the case? I don't know. But it really goes towards, I think, really showing how we were treated. So that goes back to divine timing. And what can you view as divine timing during this very stressful period? Every day I'm trying to feel, where can I find the gratitude? What's good about this? And the older I get and the more I relax, I trust in divine timing. So maybe something you might have, perhaps you were just about to start an awesome job and then this hit and they said, sorry, we can't hire you. Maybe you'll get rehired after all this, or maybe some other amazing opportunity will happen. So just keep the faith, folks. Do what you can and know that I'm cheering you on. Talk about kids and decluttering and organizing today. When I'm hired to work with a family, well, if the parents are both organized, they don't need me. And if the parents or the family is in a bunch of clutter, they don't want me. So typically when I work with a family, there's maybe one person that's more on the clutter side and one person's more on the organized side, right? Kind of finding that sweet spot where it works for everyone. So I'm going to do things a little differently today. Someone had requested this and they wanted kind of nuts and bolts and age appropriate suggestions, but you know how I work. If you've listened to me, I'm about looking at things holistically. And so I want to approach this from a different way. If you are working with your kids, and now is a great time, if they aren't in school as much, have them work on decluttering and getting organized. I'm sure most parents out there are raising their hand and like, could your kid's room use a good declutter or organization? Involve your children. I think this is so important. even if they're young kids, you can still, like a 6 or 7 year old, want to involve you, get their opinion. I think that that's really important. And a good example I'll use is memory boxes. If you keep memories of your kids, is letting them decide, because you might, something that looks insignificant to you might be significant to your child. And it's important for what's important for them to keep. And it's also important to involve them, to help them make decisions. Because I feel a lot of people I've worked with, if they had some support as a child on how do I declutter, how do I get organized, they wouldn't be holding on to so much stuff. They would have learned those skills as a child, which will help them in adulthood. I think the soft skills of life, if I was running the school system, I'd include how to balance a checkbook, I'd include how to successfully debate someone, and even if you have different opinions, how to successfully navigate that. I think there are a lot of soft skills that are missing. So I encourage you, involve your children. So at the beginning, say, hey, we are going to declutter our rooms, or we're going to declutter and organize a family room, or hey, family project, time for the garage with a nice spring day. So involve your children. I mean, first of all, kids are awesome. They have great ideas that you might not have thought of, right? Because they're coming from that different perspective. Like they might say, hey, mom and dad, how can we hang my bike so it's really easy for me to take off and I don't have to stretch and maybe hurt myself? So good stuff like that. When you're involved in them, have a conversation. Just like if they're adults, kids are individuals. I worked with a family and the 7 year old was like, good to go. He could let go of clutter. He was like, yeah, let it go. I'm done. It was really great. But the 15 year old was more challenged. You might think, well, the older child would understand more, and not at all, because they're different personalities. So it's the same thing with adults. You have to work with them and find out their challenges. So have the conversation. The first thing I'm going to suggest is, what are the benefits if we clear our clutter? We get to help someone else. We get to come into a room that feels really good instead of feeling maybe not so good. I was working with a family once, and the child had gotten really angry at the mother because she hadn't been able to get school pictures. So, you know, your school picture forms and you fill them out and bring them out. Well, she didn't get her picture that day. And, you know, as a young kid, I can understand why that would be traumatic. But then when we were decluttering the arts and crafts room, we found the check, we found everything that the mother had done. The child had just lost it or misplaced it in all the clutter. And so that was a really wonderful moment for the child, because they were able to connect that aha. Oh, if we didn't have so much clutter, if I was organized, then maybe I would have gotten my school pictures. And again, there wasn't any blame or shame, because that doesn't help anyone. But she was able to see, there's a benefit when I clear clutter and get organized. So talk to your kids about that. What are the benefits that they would see? What will motivate them? You know, maybe it is you offer more screen time. You offer more park time. You offer more staying out an hour later in summertime. What can motivate your child to want to declutter and get organized? Again, and bring that back to the benefits. What are the benefits of decluttering? What are they going to gain?
Overwhelm with stuff. Can't find what you need when you need it. Tired of wasting time and energy maintaining your mess. Longing for peace of mind. Get control of your clutter so your clutter doesn't control you. Reclaim time, money, sanity, and resources. Physical Got Clutter 365 journal prompts supports you in clearing your physical clutter. Free gift with purchase to support you even more in your journey to declutter your life.
What will motivate them? You know, maybe it is you offer more screen time. You offer more park time. You offer more staying out an hour later in summertime. What can motivate your child to want to declutter and get organized? Again, and bring that back to the benefits. What are the benefits of decluttering? What are they going to gain? you know, kids are smart. They know what's going on and they can see the benefits of everything. So I encourage you, check in with them and see what's motivating them and the benefits. I also encourage you to be in the room and ask them to close their eyes and sense, what are they feeling? You know, there's definitely a feeling of a really cluttered or disorganized place. And I believe whatever's going on the inside is reflected on the outside. You know, they have linked depression to cause clutter and clutter can cause depression. So there's that definite cycle. It can be found if you have a lot of clutter, you might not have compliance with your meds. It is adding stress to you, most likely. There are all those things going on. And so I encourage you to close your eyes. How does it feel? And then do it at the end when you've decluttered and organized. How does that feel? Get your child to articulate that. And when they know that, when they feel better, and you know, how do you feel? Do you feel like you can think better? How do you feel physically? Do you feel happier in a clean room? Seeing if they have emotional clutter, ask those questions and encourage them to really understand how it makes a difference. Another thing that's really good for this is, you know, I'd mentioned a moment ago benefits and what they're gaining, but what is it costing them? I use the example of the child who didn't get her school pictures. Maybe as you're decluttering and organizing, you can bring up an example. Hey, do you remember when this happened? And again, just in a kind way to show them, see, this is why it's good, because then it doesn't cost you anything. And kids are smart, they'll get it, they will understand, but have them be aware of that, because again, you're teaching them a skill. And you're teaching them a skill to how to let go. It's not, you know, we as a culture, or a culture right now of consumerism. There's definitely been this movement to simplify, less is more. But right now as America, let me just talk about the United States, feel that there's this definite consumerism emphasis. We've been told to buy, buy, buy. We have to keep the economy going, buy, buy, buy. And as I mentioned, there is a movement to get away from that, but you can understand how kids get caught up in that. But these are opportunities to say, well, you know, we don't always need the latest and greatest game. What is it that we could do instead of being on the electronics? Can we play a board game as a family? Can we take a walk in nature? There are opportunities here to focus less on the having and more on the being. So it's a good practice. How do you let go? It's not always easy. I know I am most challenged. We have done downsized another round. We are now down to the laundry room, part of the laundry room, our master bath, bedroom, and closet for the year. So we're doing pretty well. I'm trying to utilize this time as much as I can. Out of everything we've done and everything that's less, the hardest for me is going to be the bookcase, because sometimes it's hard to let go of books. And I'm really, my goal is to keep it to one bookcase. I don't want, and it's hard because especially I just am starting an online class on plants and herbs and learning how to work with them. And I just had to order a couple books and I'm excited, but it's like, oh man, you have to really go through the books. But if you understand how to let go, I mean, talk about how it helps your mental clutter. What are you afraid of? One of my big things that I say a lot is trust you will get what you need when you need it. And if you're able to get that mindset, you're like, if I let that go, then whatever I need to appear, that's kind of getting back to divine timing. I'm going to trust that things that are meant to happen will come in as they can. So think about how you can teach your child to let go. And again, have a conversation around this. I think it's really important to get the child's perspective and what's important to them and see what they have to say. Also, another great skill to practice during this time is decision making. How do we make a decision to let go? How do we get organized? How do we do this? You know, they used to call me in college, they used to call me indecisive one. I never wanted to make a decision. And for me personally, I didn't want to make a decision because I was afraid. I was afraid I'd make the wrong decision, or I was afraid that I would anger someone. And I have to say, thankfully, at 50, a lot of that has gone away. You know, I was, someone called me a groupie this morning on Nextdoor, and which is all good, I mean, but I don't care. And so what we were talking about was being gaslit. We're standing up for ourselves and people in the community are trying to shame and blame us. 30, I probably would have backed down. And it's frustrating. Thank goodness I have my husband. Thank goodness I have the cats for support. Thank goodness I have friends to support me, because it's not easy. But there is something that I know there's a lot more support behind the scenes for us than is apparent. But I made a decision. Because of my past, I made a decision. You know what? If I upset someone, oh well. And that's been a lifelong process for me. So I encourage you with your kids, how can they learn to make a decision? They can make a decision. Absolutely. They can do it. And those are good skills to have. And let them ask questions. Do they have a concern they might upset you or hurt you or feel like they've offended you? That might be the case in someone. Learn how to be decisive and take action. And when you're talking about clutter, you know, ask questions. How often do you use this? Do you need this? Do we have another one of this that we can let go? And if you're doing your clearing your clutter and you're sorting, then you're editing, then you'll have all that so they can see, oh, I have 20 stuffed animals. Maybe I can let go 5. And remember, it's a process for kids. They might not be able to, they may at the beginning maybe be able to let go of 1 or 2 toys. But if you do this on a regular basis, they will build their clutter busting muscles, they will build their decision making muscles, and they'll be able to let go. So that's another skill. How do you let go? How do you make decisions? And think that that's something really important. And I would also spin this whole process to a positive. You know, people, oh, decluttering, oh, organizing. Not everyone, but a lot of people do. And, you know, it can be boring, it can stink. So you're going to want to make this process fun for them. Maybe as a warm-up, you all dance as a family. Afterwards, maybe you go out for ice cream or a walk in the park or have family game night. Have a reward at the end. Make the process fun. Have music. Make sure that there's water so everyone stays hydrated if you need to have some snacks. And keep focused. Now, a couple things to consider. Most kids aren't going to be able to focus. Like when I do a job, I try to do it in 4 hours. If someone's elderly, I do it in 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours. I'm pretty spent after 4 hours, and I think that's too long for kids. So I'm going to encourage you, can you do it for maybe 2 hours, maybe 1 hour? I think that that's really important. So have a time, plan on spending less time on it. And again, you know, you put an hour on Saturday, you put an hour on Sunday, that's 2 hours of work done. You can also consider, you can have, for instance, the kids each do their bedroom and you go around and support them. Or maybe you say, okay, as a family, let's all help each other and see if we can, blam, get one of the kids' rooms done or the living room done. Get involved, make it a family affair. And remember that you are a team. There's no I. Even if you've had challenges in the past, let them go. Completely let them go. Start in the present moment. Say, okay, this might have happened in the past, but we begin new right now in this moment. We don't shame anyone. We don't blame anyone. We are moving forward as a family. We are our best support system, and let's keep up with that. If you want to do less time, you have to potentially take more breaks depending on the age of the kids. I think that that's really important. So plan for breaks. Again, if you make this an unstressful situation, you make it as joyful as possible, you're going to be able to get it done probably in less time. I'd also suggest coming up with some steps for kids. So this is where you say, okay, I'm the parent, I'm going to have some suggestions here. Okay, so like the first thing we're going to do is we're going to pick up all our clothes all around our room. And if we need, let's put the dirty clothes in the hamper. If it's clean, let's hang it up so we can see all these clothes we have. If we have 10 pairs of jeans, maybe we only need 5. Have steps for the kids to come. Okay, we've got all the stuffed animals together. What can we read through? What can we let go? Make it as easy as for your kids as possible and make those manageable steps. And then again, depending on your child's personality, depending on your child's age, you'll know, navigate that. Maybe the one that has it easy to let go needs less of a conversation and less of prodding, whereas the one that's more challenged have more of a discussion. I think that that's really important. Another thing that can help and this kind of ties back to motivation, is can you say to your kid, okay, when we're done, we are going to donate all our stuffed animals to the children's home, because these kids don't have a lot, they don't get everything, and so how can we make an improvement? How can we make someone else's life better by letting go what no longer serves us? Now, I want to add an important note, and I have a friend who's works with hoarders out in California, and she shared with me, which I didn't realize, I didn't do this when I lived in California, you are now, and I don't know how it works, you'd have to research that, but you are charged landfill fees if when you in California to dump things. And so you don't want to let go, or you don't want to donate things that are just in such horrible condition that you are going to force a nonprofit, or you are going to provide more work for someone when you're decluttering. My rule of thumb for you would be to say, if you wouldn't give it to a family member, if you wouldn't give it to a friend, if you wouldn't give it to a neighbor, then that's something that you need to think about. Because if you wouldn't give it to them, why would you give it to a charity? I mean, I would think as a child, it would be kind of a bummed out feeling to get something that was torn and stained and just way beyond repair. And the other thing is, don't give a puzzle if you're missing five pieces. Think about that again. You don't want, think about it from a child's view or wherever you donate. Or maybe you donate your bedding and your towels. You're going as a family to do things, and so you donate those to an animal shelter that can use them. And so have that plan on hand, because, you know, right as soon as you're done, well, let's go and we're going to make them so happy at the animal shelter that they have blankets for the cats and dogs that come in, the bunny rabbits, and that's going to make the child feel really good. And again, get them involved. What charity, what's important to them? What do they want to donate to? So those are just a couple tips during this time. How can we stay positive? How can we see the opportunities? How can we be grateful? There's a lot of good out there, and I definitely encourage you to seek it. Remember?
Take actions from today's podcast. Decide what spaces you want children to help declutter and organize. Involve kids in all steps. Motivate your children. Teach kids how to let go. Work with the young ones so they can learn how to make decisions. Discuss the benefits of being organized and clearing clutter. Help them understand the cost of disorganization and clutter. Break tasks down into manageable steps and age-appropriate chores. Post-session, reward everyone in a healthy way. On our next episode, we're answering your questions. Go out, clear your clutter to create the life you choose, deserve, and desire. When you clear your clutter, you can share your gifts with the world. Sign up for our free newsletter at reawakenyourbrilliance.com. If you've enjoyed Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, please rate, review, and share us.